What a day that'll be. I love that song. Oh, we get to meet Jesus face to face. Sure thankful for my salvation this morning. He's been good to us. Got a Bible this morning. We're going to be in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. We're going to talk through chapter 11 and 12 and a couple other ones. Studying my Bible this week, there was a question that come up. And I'll read you the question, we'll pray, and we'll talk about it. We all know the story of David and Bathsheba and everything that went on, and how a lot of trouble come into David's life after that sin in his life. But there was a question that was asked of him in verse number 9 of chapter 12. Let me just read you the question. We won't read the whole verse, just going to kind of go through the question and we'll pray. Bible says, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight?" A question that Nathan asked David, and we're going to go through that question today. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the goodness of the day. Lord, thank You for a place that we can come and worship together, Father, freely, Lord, with no persecution, Father. Help us to, Lord, lift our voices, lift our hands, just to praise this morning, God, for You're so worthy. Lord, would You help now in the preaching hour, God? We pray that, Lord, Your message would be preached. Use us as an empty vessel if You've never used us before. Speak through us. God, we're looking for help this morning. Draw us closer to You. Stir our hearts. Convict us of our sins. Lord, and help us to have repentance in our life every day. Lord, we sure do need You. Father, we love You. And we pray that You'd help us this morning. God, thank You for that march up Calvary's Hill and Jesus taking our place, Lord, paying our sin debt. Lord, if there be one here that's lost this morning, Lord, we pray, God, that You'd draw them in and save them before it be too late. We love You and thank You. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. We're going to talk this morning about David. But it got me to thinking as I was doing some studying about, as all this is tied together, but I think about earthquakes, right? How earthquakes come about. And more earthquakes in our lives are kind of like the same as those physical earthquakes that happen in our lives. It all happens by something going on in the inside where fault lines rupture, pressure builds up, planes start shifting. And the next time, destruction hits. It's just like that. If you see out in California, we see a lot of places there, different places throughout the country, where you hear about earthquakes that go on. But I want to talk this morning about a story of somebody that had a moral earthquake happen in their life. And this is the story of David and Bathsheba. Our Bible teaches us that in the 11th chapter, there was a time of war that went out. Where men went out, kings, generals, they went out to fight. The Bible tells us that was generally during springtime, it was actually dried up. The winter months was real rainy, and it wasn't a good time for war. So when the spring came, it was time for them to go out and do their business. But we'll see here where David, he had this going on in his life where he had idle time. And not only did he become idle, but he became irresponsible in his actions. And we're going to look at this tragic experience that David went through in his life. Chapter 11 talks about he went out on his rooftop and he was out there looking. And you know, he was doing nothing wrong by walking out on his rooftop. But once he started glancing around and looking, he seen a beautiful lady that was out bathing. And the Bible says she's beautiful, she's very lovely looking for him. And we know that when David let this sin, and it wasn't just a sin entered into his heart, but it took possession of it, it took hold of what he was doing. And it caused him, he went from looking to lusting in just a moment's notice. And we know that this can happen to any one of us because the Bible talks about, you know, we start thinking, well, was David in a battle right then with anything going on? No, if you read through the Bible, it said really he's a physical success, political success. He was undisputed king. He run enemies out of Israel. He was running them out. He was taking care of business. He was a great king. He was not only a political success, but he was also a spiritual success. The Bible says, tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. He loved God. He wanted to serve God. He was about God's business. He wanted the God in his life. He wanted to serve God. God was important to him. He was a success. But if we're going to look here this morning, there was a downward digression that David went through. And it was sin that happened in his life. And one thing we'll notice about throughout these chapters that we're going to talk about today, throughout this outline, throughout this study, throughout this message, sin has consequences in life. And David's about to find that out. Boy, if we could only see the consequences when we commit sin of what's going to happen afterwards. The devil can show us that. And we notice the same evil spirit that got David lusting after a woman also. Not only did he look, that evil spirit also told him to conceal. And he started hiding more sin coming into his life. So let's look this morning. Let's read these few verses over the question that he asked. And we notice throughout chapter 11, where he looked over at Sheba. They conceived him, they had a child for him. That child died. But it says, ending up chapter 11, verse 27, at the very end of that, before it goes into chapter 12, look what it says right here. But the thing that David had done did please the Lord. Remember that. Now, for going into chapters 11 and chapter 12, we know that there's about a year or so that takes place in between this. And David got to a preacher this way, God sent him a preacher. And I think something how 11 is about the sin and chapter 12 is about the sin. And in that time, I told you, I believe a historical period around 10 months, so we'll say a year or so in between that, could have been longer than a last in between that time, that God had sent a preacher into David's life to show him, through a parable, had shown him that he had sent great sin in his life. Now, we all know that sin has a punishment, right? Sin has consequences. We just talked about that. And we've got to remember that our sin is going to find us out. Might be like David. It took a year or so for it to come out. And we ought to be so thankful today. But you know what David got? He got to a preacher to help him before he did. Now, a lot of times people get mad at the preachers. But the preachers just do what God wants them to do. They can just read God's Word. God's Word convinces you, and then you need to get back to God. God's Word will be true. There are times where I'm preaching to myself, and nobody makes it agree. There are times where God convinces me of what I've done. And you ain't always got to tell the preacher things going on. You ain't got to tell the church things going on. Sometimes God uses that man, and the Holy Ghost will get you, and serve you. He'll call you another. And that's what happened to David here. I'm glad this morning that when it comes into my life, that God will use His Word and His man to convict me of my sin. Because God had every right to lay down fire brimstone on David. He had every right to raise up enemies to destroy the whole place where David was at. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter number 20 says David and Bathsheba could both be stoned to death, and that's to build a wall. But he didn't. This is also a story of David's sin, David's repentance, but also of God's mercy. God sent a preacher in his life to a parable. Look what he said. Verse number 1. And the Lord sent David unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there are two men, one seed, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. When he had brought and nourished up, it grew together with him and with his children. It did eat his own meat, drank of his own cup, lay his food, and was unto him and his all. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, who spared the sake of his own flock and his herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him. And he took the poor man's land, and dressed for the man that was coming to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, a man that has done this thing shall surely die. David was so far away from where he needed to be, he didn't even recognize that that Nathan was using David's own life in this parable against him. He talks about the herd of the flock. If you look at there, he talks about in the Bible, Nathan had many wives. Uriah had one. And he took the what he had and gave a gift for himself. And he said, this man right here, David said, I can't believe this man would do this. He said, David was mad about it. David was killed. I believe David said, if you'll bring me that man, I'll kill him today. I'll get justice for this poor man. And look what David said. In verse 6, he shall restore the land fourfold. This is David talking. He shall restore the land fourfold because he did And because he had no pity, now look at Nathan's response. Verse 7, and Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." He said, "Thou art the man." When sin hit David right in the face, "Thou art the man." Nathan said unto David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives, and thy bosom. And gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if thou had been too little, and if thou had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword, and of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wife before thine eyes, give them to thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives to the side of his sons. For thou didst this secretly, but I will do this before all of Israel and before the sun." David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord has also put away thy sins. Thou shalt not die." Look at the story here, what he said. I want you to look at verse 13. How David said he didn't blame nobody yet. He didn't say what? He didn't say what Jesus thought. He really don't know what's going on. He's not been in my house. He don't know what's about me. You know, he don't know everything that went on. He should have been like that. Well, I have blamed me for the sin that's coming through his life. He said, "Lord, she gave me that. The woman that you gave me. I have blamed God. Not me, but blamed God." David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." David acknowledged the sin. He didn't care about his kingdom. He was convicted of his sins. God sent David to convict him, to show him his guilt, to show him what he'd been going through, to show him what he'd been concealing and what he was hiding in his life. And he said it needs to be brought forth, that thing that's going on. And David said, "God, I've sinned. Lord, I've sinned against thee. I've fallen short." And one thing we'll notice right here is we better recognize sin's course in life. And all human beings have always been common. You know how people say we're a different thing, different backgrounds, different families, something different neighborhood and all this. All human beings throughout time and throughout the world have one thing in common since the beginning. All the sin. And all that sin. Everybody in Jesus Christ. Everybody that walks on earth. All sin. Sin, of course, went a mighty way in David's life. As we notice a few things, let me tell you about this course that went through David's life. The downward digression that we saw by the way. The first thing that happened was he saw Bathsheba. Right, there was a sin that he saw her. We see things in life. We can't help but to look across the things in life. And it wasn't, you know, and here's the thing right here. It's not a sin when thoughts pass through our mind. That's not a sin. The sin comes when they don't pass through, but we grab them and allow them to take hold and in our mind, take the possession of our mind. That's where the sin comes. He saw that sheep. Not after he saw her, look at me right together. He saw her, then he took it. He's been asked questions from chapter 11. Well, who did she? Who did she? They know about her. I want to know more about her. He was smitten by it. We talked about how God had a lust in his eyes, but the root of the lust of his so we have to change. Next thing you know, the Bible teaches us that he coveted, and then he took it. He brought it back to his house and committed adultery. And then after that, he tried to hide it. The Bible says that he tried to conceal it. To the extent of hoping nobody else would find out, of killing your own husband. But you know what David found out when they understood? He was wrong. He was wrong. He did not recognize the sin and how the force had come through. How it all started in his life. Probably thought, "Well, I made it right. I married her. And it makes it proven right for my husband to die.
Bible says last part of the chapter 11 says what he did is praise God. And I'm afraid sometimes we're not looking around and we're not buying things to make the right people die, and we're not looking to see the right God. And that's the match. The thing that he did is praise God. Might not nobody else know about it, but Joab, remember the one he said to give the ladder, and he was going to kill Uriah. And the Bible says he let Uriah take the letter. They were going to kill him. So Uriah never read the letter. He trusted David. David was his king. He had no reason not to trust David. And God started because David let things build up in his life when he could have cleansed himself. He could have asked for forgiveness. He could have confessed his sins. He did not. He kept putting one thing over another. He said, well, what I'll do is just like present now. We'll continue when he comes on in. We'll give him just over time. He's been gone a long time. We'll be just like that same night, that time together. And everything will be all right. Nobody will let him go. Only problem is he's right. He sold it. And he's no longer his wife. He changed his men. Breaks the battle. And David said, well, what I'll do is we'll just give him. We'll go to his party. We'll shindig. We'll give him a life call in. Then we'll send him home. All the blood, that party, that life call, and he's no longer. David said, no, the Bible says he was going to say. So David said, what am I going to do now? He said, he's not going to go home with his wife. And if he's not, he starts telling people don't know what's going on. He said, we've got to do something. There's a battle coming up. I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll just put him on the front line for sure. Nobody knows. See, that's the thing about the sin is we forget the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. The Holy is good and people. Sin had a course in David's life, and it's not going the way that David thought it would go. And let me tell you something about sin in our life. It never goes the way we think it's going to go. Mm-hmm. It's always going to come out. Whatever we try to hide, it will come out one day. We better recognize sin's course to those verses. We better realize that sin's curse. David was so desperate for his sin not to be discovered that he had treachery, but this was the curse of his sin. Listen to this. Once we indulge, it has its own way of taking over. Started to dominate our minds and take control of our actions. We find ourselves always looking over our shoulder, hoping nobody will ever find that. And then you know how it goes. You have to tell one lie to cover another lie, tell a lie to cover a lie, tell a lie to cover a lie. Sorry, only lie to cover a lie. And that's what David found out right there. There was a curse on him. And there was more than just him. Let me tell you something. Yes, David and Bathsheba together. And let's just say this. I know we're talking about David's sin. He had his life and how he was sinful. What we're going to talk about. But let me tell you something. You heard those ladies. It makes me tell you, let me share his sin. And you might say, well, listen, David thought he went out on the rooftop and he was looking at a woman taking him back. Well, I'll tell you right here. I'll tell you a woman that didn't take him back and brought that up. She should have been out there with somebody to say something. That's the truth. Both of them shared this sin. Both of them lost the job. But more problems come than just losing the job. You can read chapter 13, 14, 15, and keep going on some. David had a lot of problems come into his life because of this sin. Now he knows that David told David, your sin has been forgiven. But there were consequences to his sin. The Lord tells me, he said, the sword comes to your house. There's going to be evil going on in your house. He said, all the things you've done to be right out here, he said, I'll make my call. Man, your sin will be put out there on front tree in your door. And people are going to see what's going on. He was forgiven his sin. But there was a punishment to come from that. And we know that more trouble started in his life. There was rebellion, there was murder. There was adultery that went on the path. David started asking him, right? Let him hope to try to come back to his baby. Hey, Ramon forced to sell all his own citizens tomorrow. And then asked him to kill him for it. All kind of problems happened in David's family and in his life because of the sin that David committed. Problems come. See, a lot of times, you know how we look at sin? We look at it, well, it's only affecting me, well, it's only bothering me. You'd be surprised by the sin in your life can affect your whole family. That's what the Bible covers right here.
We think it's just us. Well, Lord, it was just me. But how do I know that because of my sins, because of my actions, because of what I've done against God, maybe what I've done against God, that it might come out against my faith?
That's what I've done. Well, that's how I know today, and I'm saying, no, the sin is punishment. And while we're in this forgiveness, we're still punishment. Why is there punishment? Because God wants us corrected. God loves us enough to chastise us and correct us to get us back when we need to be. God loves us today. People are so scared of chastising the Lord.
And yes, it hurts. Yes, it stinks. It ain't always fun when our sin is brought out. But God does that to watch us and bring us and get us back when we need to be. A lot of times we get confused. We say, well, as long as we go to church, we're good. Well, as long as we treat people right, we're good. As long as we get to the church, we're good. That's not right. God expects us to live holy lives. God expects us to strive to be perfect, complete. God has expectations for us. Let me tell you something about the greatest thing about God's expectations of us. What do you want us to be? God will meet all your expectations of Him. He'll always be there with you to help you, whatever you're going through, whatever you need. When the sin comes into your life, that's God's mercy. The Bible says, God forgave. God forgive you. I told you the business of God says, he's going to be stoned to death. They're going to be dragged back there and killed for what they've done. God's mercy. How many times do we think about God's mercy in our lives? The things that He's forgiven us of, the things that every time that He's watched over us, the things that, you know what, I don't deserve any of His blessings, Brother Merle. I don't deserve any of His goodness. I don't. I'm a wretched sinner from God's attention. Man, I'm glad He teaches me that. I don't ever want to set myself up where I think I'm saved or I'm good enough where I don't need prayer, I don't need church, I don't need nobody else. I don't need people in my life to pray for me. Every day is bad. Every day is bad. That's what David found out. He said, it's got a course. Sin's got a curse. Things come in David's life after this, but let's keep going. We better review sin's consequences. Look in verse 11 and 12. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil out of thy house, thy own house, and I will take thy wife from thine eyes and give thee as thy neighbor. He shall lie the wife in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing for Israel and before the sun. David's life and his family, as we just talked about, was never the same after this sin. It was never the same. And you know what? If we could just go back and preach the consequences of sin, we would learn that, you know what? Momentary pleasure is not worth the pain it can bring. It's never worth it. And that's all it was. It's momentary pleasure. And look at the sin, the destruction, the moral earthquake we talked about during David's life. Over the sin! Over the sin-making decisions David made, he lived that pressure in his life. Now, he could have went back off the first cross, and he could have went back to the first cross, and he could have asked God, God, forgive me. He's looking on this woman right here. God, help me to be focused and not distracted. Help me, God, to be the husband I'm supposed to be. Help me to be the father I'm supposed to be. Help me to be the Holy Ghost filled man of God that I'm supposed to be. But instead of stopping, he let it keep going. And that's where the problems come in his life. But I'm glad today that we look and it tells, well, you know what? We better learn to regard sin's conviction, what David did. Look what it says right here in verse number 13. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And David said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Right? That sounds just like 1 John 1:9. Now, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. I like that right there. Regard sin's conviction. Nathan helped David realize that he had done evil in God's eyes. David's eyes become open and his heart become broken. I like where he said, I see his father, the Lord. David took full responsibility for his wrongdoing and genuine remorse and repentance. David set an example to each one of us about the grace of God and what it will do in our lives. David sinned. David repented. Psalm 32 talks about the joy of repentance coming into his life. Let's look at a few verses in Psalm 51. Let me share that. Psalm 54, David wrote this psalm after this sin had come into his life.
Let me start reading just a few verses. We're almost done.
Psalm 51, David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sin, my mother conceived me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the inward part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, as thy bones, which thou hast broken, and rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities." I like these next three verses. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew thy spirit in me. Cast me not away from my presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." David said, "I need that closeness back to God." David realized that his fellowship was in fellowship with God. He said, "I need God. Create in me a clean heart. Wash me, cleanse me of my sins, forgive me my iniquity." And you know what? That's a good thing to say to God, the one person that is clean. He looked the right one. So I think he was praying. He said, "This thing, the only." He's not saying that's the only place to sin was, but what David was saying was, she was his sin. Our sins are against God, according to his name. And David said, "I will acknowledge it. I'm tired of burning. I'm tired of building. I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of having lies get around me. I'm tired of having to watch over my shoulder everywhere I go. God, I am sorry for my sin." He acknowledged he repented of his sins. He said, "I need your joy to restore my salvation. I want to go back to the day that I remember when you saved me." Anybody ever remember the day God saved me? How free you felt? What God done for your life, He took that old load of sin out of your life. He took that burden that you carried. He said, "I'll take what you got, I'm going to give you what I have." How much He loves you. David did that. And David loved God. Don't believe it didn't happen because he was mad at God, because something happened. He said, "God don't love me anymore." This happened in life because David was at the height of his career, and the devil was all
Let me tell you the good news of that. The bad news was, when we covered, God will uncover it.
So the good news is, just reverse that. The sins we uncover to God,
He'll cover it. Because our sin is remaining against Him.
And you know what He said? That sin does not generate. Sin will not generate offense. Sin, you know what it does? It wins for real. Slay the man. Right there in James 1:15. When love comes, sin comes, death comes. Sin is a short vision. Sin hardens the heart. Sin does all these things, but it will not bring repentance. You know what brings repentance in our life?
God the Father.
David was not sorry for himself. He was not sorry that he got caught.
He was sorry for sin.
He was sorry for sin that he did in his life. And when we sit there, I'm going to go home, read it. We don't have the time here. Read through Psalms 32. Read all of Psalms 51. And see what God did for David in his life. What about us? How do we remember this? I'm not asking you to raise your hand and take your sin and keep that wrapped up in, involved in the last year, the last month, today, yesterday, whatever it was. But we better take heed to this experience that David had, this tragic experience that David had in his life. We better remember there's a course we're working through that. There's a purpose that comes. There's consequences that comes. But what are we going to do when the conviction comes in our life? Are we going to run from it? That's what happens, right? God comes to sin, I come to grace, and you want to do that. You either run from God or you run to God. But you did one or the other. What do you do when it comes into your life? Well, preacher, if I come to pray about these things, people will know what I've got going on. Yeah, nobody has a business what's going on. That's what you need to know. Don't let the devil tell you that anyway. What's going on? I'm going to come out in front of everybody and tell them that things going on. That God forgive me. It's not I. That God finish me. The earthquake from our life, it always sends us the destruction of some kind. If we don't confess the sin in our life, if we don't confess the sin in our life, I can tell you we'll be just like David, an earthquake that's coming through that. And it might not just hit you, it might be everything that you love in your life. Your spouse, your kids, your home, your job, your parents, your grandparents. But the punishment for sin, let me tell you something, the greatest price was paid when Jesus died on the cross. The Bible says, whosoever will finish from that cross, they can have forgiveness in their life. I'm glad today, I'm whosoever, and you're whosoever. But what are you going to do with the sin in your life? We stand together and the Lord should come place the most sin. Is this the fact you need to confess today? I'm not here throwing stones, I'm not here pointing fingers, because I'm going to tell you, every one of us has it in our life. You need to come pray about the things, come pray about it. You need to do some business with God, that's between you and God. As for me and myself, I think I need to pray this morning. If you need to come pray, these altars are open. Just come tell the Lord what you got going on. Song that Mr. Lewis is playing. The name of it is Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. What's God leading you to do today? Will you follow Him? Will you obey Him? Maybe there's some things that you need to get right with God today. Maybe there's some things you need to get right in your home today. Maybe there's some things you need to get right in church today. Maybe there's some things coming up this week you need to get right at your job. What has God showed you today? Would you make things right with God? I tell you this much, if you'll make things right with God, He'll help you make things right with everything else. Is your fellowship where it needs to be with God? Are you walking in the light? Have you been walking this past week in the world and you see there's nothing but darkness all over? Would you come to Jesus and walk with Him for a little while?